Good morning, everyone. Okay, or in Japanese, Ohayo gozaimasu, minasan. Okay, well, before I begin the sermon, I would just like to read the passage. Okay, today is Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. I might have a different version, but that might be okay. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. In my Bible, it's page 39, but that probably won't help you very much. Okay, so I'll just read it. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took in as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young woman walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you?" And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and maybe I'll just start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity that I can worship with the Pacific Grace Chinese Church here in Vancouver. And we thank you that you are present amongst us, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will help your servant to speak your word boldly as I should. So we ask for your leading and guidance to understand your words. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And so I just thank the Lord that I can visit with you this morning and share God's word with you. And, you know, as we read Scripture, we often find out that there's many people who are chosen by the Lord. But, you know, many of them, they felt very inadequate to serve the Lord. You know, if you look at, there's Gideon, there's Jeremiah, there's David. They kind of all said to the Lord when they were chosen, "God, I think you made the wrong decision. I think you made the wrong choice. You know, I feel too inexperienced. I feel too inadequate." And also, as we look at Moses, he was another person who was chosen by the Lord to serve God. And did he feel full of confidence when he was chosen? No, he also felt very inadequate. But of course, you know, later on, that he was used mightily by the Lord. But, you know, as we look at the people in the Bible who were chosen by the Lord, we might think, "Oh, we can't be used that way. You know, I feel too inadequate. I feel too inexperienced." That might be because we look at such great acts But I believe that the Lord used the people in the Bible not necessarily just because of their big act of service, but it's because of their previous daily mustard seed type of faith that they had, their willing obedience, and their breakthrough action. And you, as we read the Bible, we find out, you know, that their mustard seed type of faith, their willing obedience, and their breakthrough action, it not only blessed themselves, but because they had that, it blessed the whole nation of Israel. And even in Moses' case, it led to freedom for the nation. You know, as we look at in today's passage, verse 1, it says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman." Now this is very important for especially us, for the young people here, because we find out that they chose each other because of their one true faith in God. Now some of you, you might be dating a special one, or you might be thinking about, tying the knot. But this is really important by our decision that we choose someone else who also has our same faith in the Lord. Because it shows, it might look like a small step in the Bible here, just one verse, but it shows that they want to truly live a life for the Lord. And Moses' father's name, his name was Amram. And we find out his mother's name was Jochebed. At that time, the Israelites, they were slaves in Egypt under a cruel king, the Pharaoh. And then we learn that Jochebed became pregnant with her third child, and that would become Moses. And unfortunately, at that time, the Egyptian king, he made a really outrageous command that any male child that was born to the Israelites had to be thrown into the Nile River to drown. And so when Jochebed gave birth to her child, what would she do? Would she throw her, especially she, when we found out that it was a son, would she throw her son into the Nile River and then die? Or if she didn't do that, what would happen? They could be imprisoned, or they could even be punished with death. So it was really a test of her faith. And then what we find out is that Moses' parents, by willing obedience, they hid Moses for 3 months. Probably after that, Moses, he was really a crybaby. So, they couldn't hide him any longer. But we found out that they took breakthrough action. They built a kind of a basket, and they made it waterproof so that it could even float. So it was really breakthrough action that they took to save Moses' life. And then we find out that as Moses, he floated down the Nile River, then his older sister watched from a distance and looked what would happen to Moses. And I'm sure she prayed fervently to the Lord that the Lord would save her baby brother. And then, as Miriam was watching and praying from a distance, it kind of reminds me of this church in Vancouver, praying and also praying for our work in Japan. Even though we're far away, but still with Your mustard seed type of faith, it can work wonders in Japan. And we find out what would happen to Moses. You know, as I believe not only was Miriam praying, but I believe that his father and mother and older brother were praying also. And it was like with mustard seed type of faith. And then we could find out that the unthinkable would happen. As you know, the Pharaoh's daughter found Moses. And we, of course, we kind of know the story already. But actually at that time, we find out in verse 6 that the Pharaoh's daughter, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." You know, she knew that it was an Israelite children. And she was the Pharaoh's daughter. So what would be natural for her to do? It would be natural for her to throw the baby, obey her father's command, and throw the baby into the water to die. But we find out that she showed mercy upon him. Now, it was not just because of her own mercy, I believe, but I believe it is God working in her heart to show mercy. And so we find out the unthinkable happened because Moses' family prayed. And we found out that she, and then we find out that Moses' sister, what did she do? She really had courage. I don't know how old she was, but I kind of think maybe she's about 8. She really had courage. She asked the Pharaoh's daughter, does she need a nurse to nurse her baby brother? And so then the Pharaoh's daughter agreed with her. And she said, go find a nurse for me. And then what would she do? Then Miriam, who was Moses' sister, called her own mother and brought her to Pharaoh's daughter to nurse Moses. Now this is really a miracle. And then she was paid to even do it. You know, how many of you parents would like to be paid to raise your own children? Any of you been paid to raise your own children? Oh, that's too bad. But, you know, maybe if we were paid, then we would have even more children. But anyway, you know, this shows that the spiritual battle was won because Moses' life was saved. And then later on, we know the end of the story. He would eventually bring the Israelites out of Egypt. But we also find out that the Lord also blessed his brother and sister, because we would learn that Moses' older sister, she would become a prophetess for the Israelites. And also we learn that Moses' older brother, Aaron, he would become the first high priest. And I believe God, he wants to use each one of us today. You know, in Japan, we need the family of God's prayer and action. Especially after last year's earthquake and tsunami, there's a lot of work to do. Not only physical work, but spiritual work. And so we are also praying that we can have more long-term workers to serve with us. You know, like for 3 months or a year or even career. Because right now, basically, we're working with another missionary from Canada, but they're only there for another few months. So we're looking for more long-term workers, even career workers that we can serve with. And maybe you feel too inadequate. Maybe you feel that you don't know Japanese. But actually, you can learn Japanese better in Japan. Okay? And just remember, it is, you know, if you feel inadequate, it's, you know, it's small mustard seed type of faith daily that really God blesses. And so you know, possibly God is speaking to you now to possibly pray more for the Japanese, or even to serve in Japan. You know, each of us, we may only feel that we can play a small part, but together, if we work together, we can accomplish God's great plan. And so may we serve God with mustard seed type of faith, with willing obedience, and with breakthrough action. And now I'd just like to share a few slides from our mission work in Japan. It's saying it's out of range, but okay. Okay. Okay, I think we're okay. Here we are. I'll just go back one slide. This is our work in Japan. We're in Sendai, as was mentioned. We started the work in 2002. Well, actually, we started the official church in 2004, worship. And then we're located about 210 miles northeast of Tokyo. And then we're in the city of Sendai, which is about 1 million people. And Sendai is the largest city in northeast Japan. The climate is similar to Vancouver, BC. And this was in this picture was taken in 2007. After a few years, this was a high point in our ministry, because after a few years we were able to gather a few families and they became believers, and we could start a weekly worship, and we were worshiping together. And then we were about to go on a one-year home assignment. And so just before this, we were able to purchase church property, which we're standing in front of, and also a missionary's house, which is just behind this church. And we also were thankful that we could, by a miracle, that we could purchase this property. And also, for our one-year home assignment, we left it in the hands of a Japanese pastor. But unfortunately, during that 1 year of home assignment, the evil one was also working. And due to that, a few of the believers, they kind of had some, they couldn't get together. They couldn't get, they kind of had some, a little bit of disagreements. And so basically when we went back, we had to kind of straighten that out, and unfortunately, that kind of led to the people also eventually leaving. So we had to basically start over again from scratch in 2008 when we went back. But one of the characteristics we need to serve in Japan is a characteristic to not give up, to have perseverance. And even though we had to go through that trial, it was kind of discouraging, but we feel that we learned a lot from it, and we're thankful that right now we're kind of getting back to where we were. And this was a community center in our area, and we wanted to reach out to the, not only within the church, because sometimes we can easily just reach out and have fellowship within the church, but we wanted to reach out to the neighborhood also. And so my wife, she started to attend a singing class in this community center. And it just so happened that the lady circled in the picture, Mrs. Sato, she sat next to her in the singing class. And they became... And she was a leader in the community center, and they became good friends. And so Mrs. Sato, she asked us if we could hold a English class. know, this is quite amazing, because actually they don't really allow religion in the church, I mean in the community center. But through this, Mrs. Sato, we just started with an English class, and then later on it went well, so she asked us to also hold an English class for seniors, and this was also actually a short-term team, came from Hong Kong, and Mrs. Sato asked us to hold a cooking class for the children in the community center. And then that went well, and so Mrs. Sato actually, she recommended us to other community centers. And so just last year, in 2011, during the Christmas time, we could hold, actually teach about Christmas to four different community centers in six different groups. So eventually we were able to tell the true meaning of Christmas to about 300 people. And it's since we couldn't really gather that many in the church, but we're thankful that we could bring the church to the community center. And so we also had short-term teams come during that time too to help out during Christmas time. And we're thankful that you know, this lady, she's a community center leader. She actually said before that they, at one time they invited, well, I mean, a Buddhist priest wanted to give a lecture in their community center, but he was refused. And this was the first time that in the community center that Christmas could be celebrated. So we thank the Lord for his work. And this shows just after another challenge we faced this past 4 years was the earthquake and eventually the tsunami and the nuclear disaster. And as you know, that we're about 100 kilometers away from the nuclear site, so actually we went. Our mission, they asked us to leave for about 1 week to go to the northern island of Hokkaido. But then after that, we felt it was safe enough to return, so they allowed us to return. And so after that, we kind of began relief work, delivering various supplies to the various neighborhoods and even far away, because one of the believers in our church, he comes from Kamaishi, which is about 3.5 hours north of Sendai. And so we drove up there. The roads were quite bumpy, and we bottomed out the car quite a bit since we had full load in the van. But we're thankful that we could deliver supplies to the city of Kamaishi. And Kamaishi, it was well known for the biggest walls to protect the city from tsunami, but actually they were quite proud of it, but actually that the tsunami, it just leveled those walls down. And so we can realize that, you know, our help, it can't just come from man-made things. It has to come from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And we were able to use our small church as kind of a relief supply center to deliver supplies to various needy areas. And also, there were some neighbors who were without supplies for a while. And so we're thankful also that some neighbors even volunteered to give some of their clothing to in support of the tsunami victims. And so in that way, we could build relationship with the neighborhood also. And then after about 2 months, after the government could supply the various needy areas with the basic necessities of food or water, then we went to the next phase of just helping out the tsunami victims to dig out their homes from the various muck and guck that was left in their house. And so this was with a believer from our church. We were helping to dig out the various houses and yards. And then after a couple months of that, then we wanted to reach out to the tsunami victims themselves. And so this was after they built temporary housing for the tsunami victims, then we visited a community center with a short-term team from Hong Kong. And these three people from Hong Kong, they were professional physical therapists. And so they gave massage to about 50 victims a day. And some of them, and as they were giving them a massage, then we would kind of talk with them and ask them how was the day when the tsunami came. And many of them, usually with tears, they shared about what happened that day. And we're just thankful that we could kind of provide this service for them. And then also, we're also kind of volunteering as part of a team with other volunteers in the temporary housing. And this night we had kind of a Hong Kong night, and we made mapo tofu for the children and their mothers. And we had quite a few people to enjoy mapo tofu. Some of the children, they said it was really hot, but actually later on they wanted it even hotter. Okay. And then this was just a pastor from Hong Kong who came with a short-term team and with a Japanese man. And actually they couldn't communicate with one another. But through pictures, he had an iPhone, so he showed pictures of a YouTube video to the pastor, and then he started crying because he was showing a video of how Chinese were helping the tsunami victims. And so he was very thankful that for Chinese coming to help the tsunami victims. And you know, it's really rare for a Japanese elderly man to show his emotion. So it was really a touching moment at that time. And then at a different temporary housing close to the Sendai area, we had a Hong Kong day, you could say. And they might look Chinese, but actually they're Japanese. But they're wearing clothes from Hong Kong and maybe a traditional cap. And so we're thankful that we could provide some joy to those who have lost their homes and maybe even relatives. And so actually that previous temporary housing, they've just invited us again to have a quilting class because we serve together with the littles who are also with us for a year term assignment in Sendai. And so she knows a little bit about quilting, and so we could hold a quilting class to the tsunami victims also. And so we're thankful. That even happened just maybe about a week ago. And they want to continue to have that quilting class. And we're also thankful that another team came from Hong Kong, a short-term team, and we could have various activities in the church. So this was a men's night, but you know, for men's, it's quite a small group, so actually we let the ladies join in too. And then we had some fireworks. After fireworks, we took a group picture with high schoolers. And then also we had mothers and children with this group, with the short-term team, and some university students. So all these, most of the people in these pictures are just contacts or seekers that we meet with. But we're thankful that they could all come, because usually those who come to worship are just the believers, because usually Japanese, they just feel that, until they make that commitment, they don't feel that they can come to Sunday worship. And so this is actually our small group of Sunday worshipers. And then with the littles, who are missionaries, and we're thankful that this day we could also have a baptism for my son, Timothy, who just started university at UBC, and also my daughter, Tiffany. And so we're just a small group, but we're thankful that we can worship together. And this is kind of a picture of one of the outer areas where it used to be a railway station. But as you can see, grass is growing on the railway, and this is the electric pole that's still bent over. And so we can see that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in Japan. Not only physical work, but we believe more importantly, spiritual work. And there's really too much work to be done that just myself and Bella can do, and with the short-term missionaries that are serving with us now. So we're praying that the Lord of the harvest will provide more workers. And so this is the last picture. We would just like to be a light to our neighborhood and also to the tsunami victims. And we thank you for your prayer and support for our last 4 years of service in Japan. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.